Welcome back. I am in Claire and Simon Colic's kitchen. This is the nice thing about like COVID restrictions easing is that I actually like walk into people's houses now, which does make me feel like a bit of a criminal because I'm like, oh, am I allowed to be in here? Which is slightly ridiculous. I'm here with Claire. Claire, say hello.
Hello.
Good.
It does seem very strange having you in the kitchen instead of the garden.
Not just because it's me, but because of the whole COVID thing, obviously.
Yeah.
Very good. We were both just laughing there because we like did a sound test and then we're like, we don't want to listen back to it because we both don't want to hear our voices again. So if anything comes through in this, we will not have listened to it back because we can't cope basically. So I don't know why I said that. It was just a little welcome. So last week we had heard from Pete Nichols about sort of his experience of prayer in his life. I suppose what we're trying to do as we do these different podcasts is to get people in lots of different areas and walks of life. So Pete, retired policeman, mm-hmm. We want to find out his experience. We now have a full-time mum sitting across from us and we want to find out about your experience of prayer. So here's the first question. Could you give us, that felt very official, could you give us an idea of, you know, how or when do you pray in your, you know, chaotic busy life?
Yeah, very chaotic and busy life. Prayer is right down on the bottom of my list.
Yeah.
I would have said that prayer and reading is at the bottom of my list, but praise God, I've been encouraged to read the Bible in a year. So I keep ploughing on with that, but then prayer is still sitting at the bottom. So how and when? It's usually just kind of one line of spur of the moment. You know, like even if I'm driving and having a bit of a panic about driving or driving somewhere I don't know and like, oh, please God, let there be a parking space or, you know, Lord help me as I, you know, navigate. Or if somebody just springs to mind, I find that what I find is as I just even cooking or washing up or any of those hanging the washing out, somebody will spring into my head and that's, you know, from God and prompted by the Spirit, and I'll just pray for that person. There's a few people in church at the minute that I'm very much aware of situations, and then they're called to mind, so I just kind of pray very quickly in between doing chores.
Yeah, I think that you said there is really helpful. The Spirit just brings it to mind, because sometimes you almost, people spring into your conscious and you're like, oh, that's so random. But actually, what you just said there is amazing. Whenever you randomly think of, I don't know, a friend or a neighbour, and you say, oh, do you know what? I'll just pray. Like, that is a prompting of the Spirit to pray, which is really encouraging. And actually, there's lots of short prayers in the Bible and long prayers. So, you know, we're not told a length. We're told just to pray. So that's really encouraging. Is there a place in this house where you find, because you said, you know, in the kitchen while you're cooking, you'd pray. Is there a place where you get a bit of peace to pray?
No. Well, to be fair, I'm at home and the boys are both in full-time school.
Yeah.
I still stay at home. And even then, my day is normally just filled with, sometimes I binge watch on Netflix, or I'm a crafter, so I do a lot of crafting, so it's not, I feel quite convicted in a good way to think about how I spend my time while I'm at home. And this is helping me kind of reevaluate that. I suppose time during the day while I'm not rushing around meeting people and socializing and stuff, I might just be sat in the living room, and then maybe even if I'm looking for my phone, and then, you know, you kind of see people's names or somebody will just spring to mind, and then it can prompt a one-liner or it can spread into something else. I'm very aware of a lot of people in church at the moment suffering with their health, and definitely, like, the other week, I was sat on my own, I think the boys went to the park, and I was just so you know, prompted to pray for everyone who was under the weather and struggling, and it just led on to a lot of a bigger prayer.
I think that's what I know this through Amy, really, but the women's WhatsApp group is very good at, you know, sending prayer requests in or encouraging things to help you to pray. I always find that helpful in our life group WhatsApp whenever prayer requests come in during the day, because you're just like, you look at your phone and you read the message, and you can do that one liner as you read it almost.
I used to be terrible. I used to kind of read it and think, right, yeah, I've got to pray for that person, and then try and think that I'll find time later on, and then I'll do a big prayer.
Yeah.
But that never ever happened.
Yeah.
So as the prayer request comes in, if it's on the ladies group or the life group, or if I'm just prompted, then I'll just pray there and then. If it's a one-liner, I feel like, well, I have actioned it. I'm not saying I am going to pray for you and then don't.
Mm.
That's no good.
Yeah.
So to actually pray there and then.
Yeah. I don't think it's the complete side point, but in my mind, I don't understand myself whenever I say, like, oh yes, I'll pray for you, and then I don't. I'm like, why did I not just stop in that moment and say, why don't we pray now? Because I know if I say, oh, I'll pray later, I realistically won't. It's just a funny little thing we all do, isn't it?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah. So during lockdown, I'm saying M a lot today, I don't know why. during lockdown, our life group did, everyone sort of shared their testimonies at different times, and I remember being really encouraged by yours. You'd done it in a little video format.
Yeah.
But you know, if people get a chance, chat to you about your testimony, because, well, anyone's testimony, because it's really encouraging. But I suppose in light of that, coming to faith later on in life, who sort of has been most influential in teaching you to pray, or who have you learned from in some ways your prayer life, would you say?
I don't know. Because no, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, and obviously prayer wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Became a Christian when I was 25. So no, I didn't know. Obviously the first prayer is the prayer for salvation, and you're kind of taught that on, I did a Christianity Explored course, and that's how that came into it. So I had the words and I just kind of repeated it. I suppose prayer was just following, you know, learning kind of through church and how you approach God, how you should speak to God, but then learning as you go along and learning through sermons and just chatting to people and reading books. And, you know, gosh, how long has it been now then? 15 years. And you realise that actually it's a personal relationship, and it doesn't have to be formal. I suppose when I first became a Christian, and I, you know, it was all quite scary and daunting, and it was very formal. Whereas now, yeah, I pray in the car, oh Lord, please just let there be a parking space. That's, you know, that's not very formal at all, is it? So I suppose there's a time and a place for prayers like that, and there's a time and a place for reverence and respect for our Father. And I suppose just life group and going to church and just learning from, I don't mean older Christians in age, but older in how long they've been a Christian and their wisdom.
It is. I don't know why I've never thought of this before, but the first prayer everyone really prays is that one of salvation, which is pretty cool to think about. Yeah. The first thing you say to God properly is like, will you save me? So that's why, that's just a helpful thing for me to think about. But I suppose that sort of learning from other Christians and, you know, from prayers that are prayed in church are just really encouraging, aren't they? But sort of similar to you, like the other day, this is so ridiculous, at rugby, I think I like dropped the ball, and I was like, oh, Lord, why? And I was like, what, you know, what am I doing? But also, like, to the boys around me, they're sort of like, the fact that, I wouldn't say that, I don't even, it was sort of a prayer, it was just like anguish, or like, why has this happened? But that's sort of, you know, my first response in that ridiculous situation was to pray. That, you know, it's not a bad thing if you your first response, you know, in the car looking for a parking space is to ask your father for help. I think that's an amazing heart, really. Well, it's prompted by the Spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So now to keep going, obviously the first prayer you prayed was answered because you're not a Christian.
Yeah.
But could you share with us maybe another time when you experienced God answering a prayer? It could be in the past 18 months, wherever sort of springs to mind.
Gosh, I'm not sure. No, I can't think of any specifics. I suppose, yeah, maybe thinking back to, like, yeah, just stuff in the family, like Simon was facing redundancy a few months ago. Obviously, you know, we were prayerful around that, and obviously that wouldn't happen, and if it did, that everything would work out okay. But actually, it didn't happen, and you know, God really answered that, because I think he went into work the next day, and somebody was like, "Oh, I'll take voluntary redundancy." So there was absolutely no threat on anybody else in the maths department of having to take redundancy. So that was a really good answered prayer. And obviously, thinking back to COVID, when Simon's uncle was really poorly with COVID, and you know, that was long, persistent prayer, but he recovered and he came out of hospital, and it was just amazing.
Yeah. This this Sunday, little sneak preview for Sunday sermon, but you know, Paul prays for people that he's never met, and I think what I loved about, you know, the situation with Simon's uncle, not that I love the situation that he was in, but that, you know, he had countless people in the bridge praying for someone that they have never met and potentially never will meet. And you think that's a real sign of a community, that you pray for people, you know, you really have no idea who they are. Which is very encouraging. Great. On a slightly different note then, could you tell us about a time when God, you didn't answer a prayer in a way you expected, or you feel like the prayer wasn't answered at all?
I suppose, as we were chatting earlier, the only thing that sprang to mind was when we were looking to move. And we used to live in a different part of Pontprynau, and then we were looking for a bigger house in Pontprynau. And we kind of went looking before our house sold, and we came across a property, and it was just, oh, it was just lovely, and I just fell in love with it.
That's dangerous. That is dangerous.
And so, you know, you kind of start praying, and then that house falls through, obviously, because you haven't sold yours, and then you're just praying that God would just, you know, give you the right house, and then other houses come up, and you're like, oh, this is the perfect one, this is even better. And then it just, you know, anyone who's moved house knows. And actually, the house that we're in now, we've been here for 4 years this month.
Wow.
And so that's quite timely. I totally discounted this house. I didn't even see it properly on Rightmove and totally discounted it. And when we sold our house, we were kind of like desperate then. We've got to find somewhere, you know, we've got to keep the ball moving now. And found this house, and it just ticked every single box I've ever prayed for before I met Simon. And you're planning, like, where you want to live in the future and what you want of a house. So actually, it's incredible how, you know, God's timing.
Yeah.
And yeah, even when you're in the midst of prayer for all that he still, it works out in his way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's so funny how, like, so often prayers that we, you know, God almost teaches us what we should be praying for, because we pray for something, it's like, let me show you what you actually need. It's so funny. So sort of carrying on, I don't think it's the same line, but what would you say in your Christian life is the biggest encouragement or the biggest incentive to pray? What, you know, gets the fires going, per se?
Definitely when things are tough.
Yeah,
I think
when things are tough, it makes you want to pray.
Yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah, so, like, you know, I'm sure I'm definitely not alone in this, but when things are going great and, you know, everything's rosy, I don't really think about prayer.
Yeah,
like I say, it's on the bottom of my list anyway. But when things are really tough, and, you know, there's a situation, you just I just find myself praying nonstop for that. Mm. Obviously, while we were in Butlins the other week, for everyone who knew our holiday sickness story, that obviously it was prompting prayer all the time, you know, oh Lord, just stop us being ill and just get us to, you know, a hotel, may there be room for us somewhere, and then help us, guide us, give us the holiday that we still want. And yeah, so when things are tough, that's definitely when I pray.
So on the flip side, so things that are like a discouragement, if that's a word, or something that puts the fires of prayer out, is everything going well? Does that mean that, like me, when everything's going well, I don't pray? Yeah. Is that similar for you?
It can be, although I've definitely grown as a Christian, and certainly over the last few years, that I notice God's blessing in everything. You know, we always pray together. We try and pray together with the children at bedtime, just to give blessings back to God. You know, thank you that we're here. We've shared time together. That God's provided us with, to be honest, all the amazing things we have. You know, we're so blessed, and I don't take that for granted, and I'm very aware to give that back to God. So yeah, when things do go well, it's really important to say, actually, that's not anything to do with me. You know, we like to kind of take control and think it is us, but it's not. So yeah, definitely giving thanks to God is there, as well as then the help. It's kind of give thanks and help.
Yeah, really, there's only two types of prayers, isn't it? A please and a thank you.
Yeah.
It's just good manners. So okay, last question. You've done so well. What would your top tip for growing in your prayer life be? If someone said to you, Claire, how would you encourage me to pray, grow in my prayer life? What would you say?
I'm probably going to start preaching to myself here, and because I don't do this, but I would like to start a prayer journal, just to kind of help with, I do struggle with my memory. So it's nice when they're on the WhatsApp group and you can go back, you can read it. But then equally, I've known people who've kind of written it down in a journal format and then gone back and then written, maybe if a prayer's been answered, kind of put a note next to that, and then you can pray and give thanks that prayer has been answered. And as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, wow, that's a really good idea, and I have to go and do that. So I'm encouraging myself now to do that. But ultimately, I think just giving God the glory in everything, and encouraging to say, you know, God just wants you to talk to him. I think speaking about what Pete was talking about, it's just having that conversation and having been reading the Bible more and realizing that personal relationship we have, it's our way of communicating, isn't it?
So it's quite funny, because there's an app on your phone that you can get Prayer Mate, and it's sort of like you can put all your prayer lists into it. I'll show you after we're done recording. But I find that I'm so distracted by my phone, I've now transitioned to a journal and just having people's names down, because whilst the phone is really helpful to, you know, get things down quickly, if a message or something comes through, I'm just gone immediately. So I find actually a pen and paper for me, but that is a good top tip. Well, there we go, 20 minutes. You know, you're nervous beforehand, easy peasy, no problem. So I hope this blesses you, whoever you are listening. And please, you know, tell Claire, encourage Claire that you've found stuff like this helpful, because I know it's not easy doing this, but we all definitely benefit from hearing one another's testimonies. So, do you want to say bye?
Bye. Thank you.